This is to me is the most important aspect in all of Scripture, is to love as Christ loved. This is the new commandment. A lot of Christians want to make righteousness and justice the main thing, and then they have a lot of trouble with mercy fitting in there and how to work the two together, because there is no mercy and righteousness and justice. There is no mercy and law by definition. By definition, there isn't. And this is a dilemma that most Christians have. And most Christians have an erroneous view of what spiritual love is. To them, it is permissive sin. And if you understand what spiritual love is, that's one thing that it is not. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in truth. And it is what God has given to us when we walk in His Spirit. It's very important to realize that at the point of salvation, among the many things, Lewis Berry Caper came up with 34 things, but among the 34, get out of here. Among the 34 people on tape, that was a bug among them. I wasn't telling somebody to get out of the church. Okay. And one of the things that we did on the whole package, when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, of course, we justification and receive His life, eternal life, but we receive imputed righteousness. And this is your state of existence. You can't lose this. You are pure before God, period. Now, isn't it interesting that experientially, well, let's go back here. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and become a new spiritual creation, you are not imputed with love. Love is something, God's love here, is something that is given to us when we walk by the power of His Spirit. And it is His Spirit that pours in this love. And this is what flows from the Christian and characterizes us. So we're in the midst now of looking at love, and we have studied many aspects, and right now we have looked at the cause of this love, and the cause of this love is God Himself in the form of God the Holy Spirit. And we're looking at the means. Now, this is from our perspective. How do I get this love flowing through me as a believer in Christ, as a member of the human race, as a member of the body of Christ? What is the means of getting this? Do I have to do something? And we're seeing that the means of this is simply our faith. If we will just trust Him, He, God, will pour into us His love. And this is what we are in the midst of looking at. And our part in this whole issue is the same thing that our part was in being saved eternally. And that was simply to trust Him. And when we trust Him, God gives. So it is the means of receiving, so that the Spirit can continue to open our eyes. Let's prepare ourselves in prayer, testing ourselves to see if we are in His Spirit, that His Spirit can do His work in us. Let us pray. Father, we now have assembled ourselves in the most strategic area of the spiritual warfare, and it is not in refraining from sinning. It is not in being a witness. It is, Heavenly Father, in the opening up of Scripture that we enter into this dangerous field. There are, Heavenly Father, as we've seen, on purpose, so many ways of seeing Scripture. We cannot understand and see truth without the power of Your Spirit, the illuminating work of Your Spirit, the teaching ministry of Your Spirit. So, Father, we pray that now He will cause us to see what You would have us to see in the passages that we look at, and understanding what You have designed, because even faith, Heavenly Father, has been so attacked and so polluted that so few understand the faith that You're looking for. It's a simple faith, a childlike faith, a grain of seed faith, in You, the one that You have sent, in whichever form we find You, Father, as Son, or as Spirit. Cause us, Father, to see the faith that you're looking for. It's not a faith work, but it's Heavenly Father just simply a beautiful way of receiving what you desire to give us. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Now, we have been setting various points on this, and we have, like, for example, major point one, very important, everything that we do in the Christ-like life and the Christian life is by faith. And by that I mean anything that we do that is going to be praiseworthy of God, what we're going to receive from God, is by faith. And this includes receiving a spiritual love. No one is going to love as Christ loved without faith. And so we have spent some time there. And we're using the pattern for understanding this in Ephesians. Let's just open the scriptures, if you will, to orient us to where we left off now. We finished the passage last week. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and let's just look at verses 8 and 9 one more time. So many things have been going on in your life since last Tuesday evening, and I know that. I have the wonderful privilege of sitting and studying daily and oriented to it without losing too much momentum day to day. But I know your lives are filled with so many other things in life, and so let's just read it again, because it is the orientation of understanding how we're going to receive not only spiritual love, but receive anything from God. It is given at how we entered into the whole plan. And again, I personally believe that this is why God set it up this way, that it would be by faith, because he's letting us know, this is how I want you to do it all the way through. So he set it up where we enter into it very clearly. Well, you can't miss it. Well, you can, but those who are Christians didn't miss it. And then, this is the way I want you to receive everything throughout your life. So, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, so important. For by grace, by the instrumentality of grace, this is the instrument, you have been saved by means of faith. Faith is the means. Grace is the instrument. Now, very important phrase in dealing with that concept. That not of yourselves. In other words, he's designed it this way so that it would not depend on anything that we do. Therefore, we get our clue here, then whatever faith is not me doing something. Faith is me receiving. Faith is not acting. Faith isn't like my having to do some kind of work or something generated from me. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then verse 9, to kind of reiterate it, to make clear, not as a result of works, any kind of work, confession, repentance, sorrow, inviting Jesus, making him the Lord, anything that we might want to do other than just trust him. It comes under this concept of works, because works means I did something. Works is active, faith is passive. Faith is not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. And whether you would boast or not isn't the point. The point is that you have the grounds to boast if you have any part of receiving anything from God. Now, where we left off was we were in the midst of really looking at point two and the substance of faith. I am not doing this to be cute or clever. I didn't know what else to put it under these things I want to cover here. The substance of faith. And we looked at Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We noticed in sub-points here, sub-point one, faith is not active. I just want to go through these quickly, and because we did this last week. Faith is not, faith has no power, first of all. Faith has no power. There's no power in faith. There is no power in faith. Now, just to give you an example, there is power in love. Love is active. But there is no power in faith. Then we notice at point two, faith is passive. That means that faith can only receive. It cannot produce anything. We looked at that. Subpoint three, the merit of faith depends on the object of faith. The power is not in faith. The power depends upon the object of faith. This is why I like to kind of snap people thinking. We are not saved by faith. We're not saved by faith. Faith doesn't save us. We're saved by the work of Christ on the cross. We're saved by the work of God. But what we're looking at here is, how do I appropriate the work of God to myself? And God has set up this non-meritorious system called faith. Just trust me, and I will give it to you. That brought us to major point three, to the point that we understand that salvation and spiritual love. You have to put in a lot of other things here. Recovery from sin, all the fruit of the Spirit, blessings from God. But just coming from salvation to our study, spiritual love, to the point that we understand that salvation and spiritual love are the works of God, to that point we simply trust Him. The problem that a lot of Christians have is they have not dealt with the fact that things like spiritual love, the fruit of the Spirit, recovery from sin, these are the work of God. And if we will understand that they're the work of God, then we'll see, I don't do anything for them. I can't. They're of God. And so all I have to do is trust Him. So we spend some time there, and that was how, therefore, there is no boasting. That brings us to point four now. Point four. The means, coming off of our study in Ephesians, the means of spiritual love, the means of having spiritual love, God's love, and in this case, God, the Holy Spirit, means of having God's love in me. What is the means of my getting that love? Love one another. Okay? Do I do something to generate this love to love one another? Is that what I do? Or is there something else? Is the means of spiritual love is simply trusting Him. You don't have to generate this love. People, to manufacture this love yourself, to produce this love yourself, that means you have to understand it. This love is beyond understanding. How in the world are you going to produce what you can't understand? You're not going to. That's what a lot of churches do. A lot of things do. Momentums in Christianity is try to make something. That's why I call them the religious alchemists. They're still trying to put everything in the right mixture so that they can come up with this gold called love, spiritual love, God's love. It can't be done. And it's so simple. You don't have to go through all of that magic trying to put it all together, a right amount of this and a right amount of that, and then you'll get... No. No. You just trust Him, and He gives it. We do not work for it. We do not work to create it. Just, you realize I'm saying two different things? We do not work to create it. That means, okay, I can produce this love if I will be moral enough, if I will learn enough Bible doctrine, if I will... meditate, if I will emote, if I will serve, if I will do something, then somehow out from this creature is going to come this love. No, it isn't there to begin with. You can't come out from you what you do not possess. Then there's a second way of seeing what I'm saying here, and that is we cannot earn it. Okay, I do understand that it's of God. So now, how am I going to earn this love so God will give it to me? Now, again, you generally come back with those same things. Well, if I'm morally righteous, or if I live in the Word, or if I emote, or if I serve, then God is going to say, well done, here's a portion of my love. No. We will do those things, people, but we will do them in the love that He has provided. That's why we talk about things like giving and all these things that we might do in the Christian life. If there's not love, they're not anything in the spiritual realm. Giving, worship, prayer, so many things we could talk about. If they're not done in the power of the Spirit, if they're not done in love, they're not done in a manner that is going to be pleasing to Him. So we do not work to create the environment of spiritual love. It is not of us. Now, point five, love, spiritual love, is active. And this is important for us to now kind of get a feel of, and we talk about, get a sense of, and when we talk about faith and love. They're not the same type of words in the Greek. Faith is a passive verb. passive now. It receives. Whereas, in to get another view, love is active. It comes out. So here you are, a diagram way of seeing this. Faith can only receive. It comes into. Whereas an active verb is something that comes out from. See? And so we receive salvation and we receive spiritual love. Boom. Boom. It comes through when we do faith, when we trust Him. Now, when love comes out, love is active. Love is power. That's why in our study we've seen that love is a spiritual force. It is a spiritual force. It has impact. It has direction. It has magnitude. All those things that we have looked at in regard to a spiritual force. The spiritual force is active. And so under this point that we're dealing with, point five here, love, faith is passive, love is active. Love is active, faith is passive. Faith is the means of receiving. Spiritual love is active. Spiritual love is as it were, it's a work. Therefore, it's by God. I hope this is clear. This is a work. And therefore, since it is the work, it is of God. Because only God can do the work. This is why it is of God. Spiritual love has as a force. It has a force that can move objects. It can change objects. It can move objects. Stop them moving. It can change the direction. A person can be headed, just for example, headed in this direction, and then pow, is hit by divine love or spiritual love, and can actually change the direction. Okay? Change it, whatever this will be going on, but change the direction. This is what a force can do. You're moving along, and then pow, you're hit with the force of spiritual love. It actually moves you. It gets you going. You're at a stationary position, boom, the force of love hit, and it pushed you, and boom, now you're moving in the direction. And it has magnitude. That's the measurability of love. No greater love hath any man than he will lay down his life. And different things that we study, you must love me more than. Those are magnitude, measurability, impact or effect of love. That's what we'll be seeing in the 16 impact effects of love in 1 Corinthians. Now, for this reason, you can understand why, for example, let's talk about our own salvation. Go back to Ephesians principle, Ephesians 2, that we turn to. This is why we are not saved by love. Now, let me see if you understand what I'm saying here. We are not saved. I guess I like the impact of saying we're not saved by love, but then it conjures up the wrong idea in people's minds. So we're not saved by our love. We're not saved by love that comes from us. Certainly, we're saved by His love. But we're not saved by love. We're saved by, from our perspective, faith, not love. If we're saved, in other words, what I'm saying is, the gospel isn't love God. If that were the gospel, then we're saved by work. We're saved by us doing something actively. I produce this love, I love God, and God says, oh, you love me, I save you. We're not saved by love. We're not saved by our production of this love toward God. Nowhere are we saved because we love God or love Jesus Christ. Love Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You don't have that. Not even implied. Because that would be active. That would be, you do something and I will save you. We're not saved because we love God. We're not saved by loving Jesus Christ. We're not saved by acts of love. If you will perform these acts of love, I will save you. I will bless you. No, that's what's wrong with that circle, that fourth circle I always put on the board service. Paul said, if I do all these things but do not have love, it profits me nothing. We're not saved by service. We're not saved by the production of love, people. We can't produce this love. We're not justified by our love. We're not justified by our loving anyone. So if we do, we're saved by active. We're saved by us doing something. We did this. That's why, what does Scripture say? Not of works, so that no one can boast, but of faith. Not love, faith. We are saved, as it were, in a passive way of just receiving from God God's work. We're saved by the means of faith. Love, There is love in salvation. There's no doubt about that. I'm not even implying there isn't. There is love in our salvation, but this love is from God. What does Scripture say? He loved us first. God loved us first. And what did that love do? It was active. What is one of the actions of love? He gave. Fundamental to love is giving. Fundamental to love is giving. But not all giving is the giving God is looking for. A lot of Christians give to the church and give in various ways, but it's not given under the power of the Spirit. It's given with strings. It's given with control. It's given for arrogance. It's given to oppress. It's given for a lot of reasons people give to the church and to poor people. And there are a lot of things in life. But it's not the giving he's looking for. But spiritual love does motivate. This is one of the primary cornerstones of Christianity. For God so loved the world, he gave. And what did he give? He gave something valuable. He gave us his son. So, certainly our salvation involves love, but it is the love of God. He loved us first. But we are not saved by us loving. Nowhere is that even implied in Scripture. I want to repeat it. If we are saved by loving him, or loving Christ, by responding to his love, by some act of love on our own, on our part, I love him, so I invite him into my heart, and I'm saved. I love him, so I make him Lord. People, these are active. I can boast. I'm doing something. I love. I invite you into my heart. I love. I make you Lord of all. Those are active. Those are men doing something. They are polluting the gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. They distort the gospel. And it's done so subtly. And it's done so, it sounds so nice. But what I want you to see is that it is so wrong, and because it dilutes not only the gospel, but it dilutes his love. And it also dilutes our part of just trusting. We want so much to work. We want so much to do. It really is so simple. Just come to me and trust me. If it's all comes to me, and I'll give it to you. That's what kind of God we have. This whole thing, again, is your view of God. It's your view of God that you have to do something, even if it's something as wonderful as love. Or is it God that you just trust me? I will give it to you. He can't make it love because I don't have this love. He first has to give me whatever it's going to be. See, this is what's beautiful, your view of God that we talk about so often. What is the first thing? First thing God asks for from us is faith. But what does he do before he asks us of this faith? He's given. He's given to all members of the human race a measure of faith. All members of the human race are given a measure of faith. Then he says, now, give it back to me. Trust me. Now, when you do, and you become a believer in Christ, he puts into you the power source of spiritual love, God the Holy Spirit. So you have inside of you the spiritual source of spiritual love. And now he says, love. What's he saying? Trust me. Trust me again. Just keep trusting me, and I'll give it to you. So this is what we're doing. So if we're saved by love, we can boast. But I don't boast. Okay, let's think about that. You ever said to your children, to your spouse, to someone, but I love you? And while you're not thinking about it, what you're doing, it's a boast that they ought to do something now that you said that. It's a great, we put a value on this action called love. But I love you. After all that I've done for you in love and this type of thing, and this is what you're going to do. That's what boasting is about. I love you, God, and you didn't do this. I love you, and you don't do this. I love you, and you don't do this. And we boast about our love sometimes. Because indeed, people in the human race, that's about the fundamental thing we have to give to one another. Faith is not a one another issue. We're not here to trust one another. Trust is between creature and creator. Not between creatures. You don't find that anywhere in Scripture. Cursed is man who trusteth in man. That isn't the relationship between members of the human race. I love it. And that's why we put so much value on it. It's the extreme that I can give. It's the most precious that I can give. It's my love. I can give back. And I'm not, you know, it's more, I was watching a movie the other night, kind of late, couldn't sleep, and just went and turned on TV. And just a line that was in there, how can you offer me your body and yet not want to disclose your soul? So what the person was saying to the other person was making what I'm talking about here. You can even give your body, but withhold that other. But when we do let go and we do give love, we do give our love, then things begin to happen in our soul. In our soul, because we have given the most precious that we have, and that is our love. Not our trust, but our love. So we can boast. We can boast. We can also control. We can also demand. You have to understand different things about boasting. Now, we didn't spend much time on it in Ephesians chapter 2 and 9 when we saw that, the man not boast, but I did give you a clue that it is so crucial to the spiritual warfare. I hope you remember that. It's so crucial to the spiritual warfare. And if we spent the whole time starting in the first book all the way through the Bible and talked about the place of boasting in the spiritual warfare, first between God and Satan, and then between God and creature, meaning man here, not that Satan is not a created being, but then man's part in this whole thing, you begin to realize why that word comes up at very significant places in Scripture. What can I do in my boasting? Well, in boasting then, I love you, God, you do for me. That's when you know you're making faith a work. I trusted you, now you have to do for me. I trusted you to make my marriage work. Now you have to do for me. You've made faith a work. That isn't the faith God is looking for. Faith is looking for is, will you just trust me? Regardless of what I do. Okay. So, you get to control, you get to demand. A lot of things happen when we boast. When we have our part. But you see, people, when we come on and we just say, I trust you, we have nothing. We're just now, all we can do is to receive from Him. Receive from Him. Point six. Spiritual love is active. Faith is passive. We receive by faith spiritual love. We receive by faith the action of spiritual love. Just trying to word this. One of these ways is going to click with every one of you, hopefully. We receive by faith spiritual love, or we receive spiritual love by faith. We receive by faith the action of love. All the action that comes from love. Now, this may help you in understanding what we're trying to do with that real big word called obedience. Okay. Point one, our obedience is faith. That is, to trust the Holy Spirit. And that, people, is where our obedience stops. That's where our obedience stops. Now, what comes from our obedience? And I'm just going to put some things down. Giving, righteous life, prayer, just, you know, these kinds of actions in life. What comes from our obedience is the work, because all of these are works, of God. That is, God the Holy Spirit. They're not mine. They're His. They're His works. So, our obedience is to trust God. What comes from our obedience is the obedience of the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Spirit doing these things. The work. My part is faith, God's part is work. So, this is a great place to see. So, I want this faith, so I want this love, so my part is to trust, but the work, the expression and all the actions, let's put that this way, the actions of love, they're not mine. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Okay, you lay down your life for the brethren. Is that you doing it? Or is that God being it in you? God being it in you. He gets the glory. But you see, when you go to the crisis of love, which we haven't studied yet, but when you go to the crisis of love, that's okay. Not only is it okay, that's great that I'm being able to use this way, be used this way. But you have to have that relationship with Him first, that the Son had. And then you're ready for the crisis of love. So the Holy Spirit produces the love in us. See, it produces the environment of love in us. We don't produce it. If I can change the subject from love to another fruit of the Spirit, plus faith or happiness. So many people want happiness. So I'm going to go make it if I had enough money. If I had everything going my way. If I did this, if I did that. And people try so many different ways to be happy, but what you first of all have to decide is, this is what will make me happy. So what happens is you go out, and let's just say, first of all, this is money, because Americans think that's it. Then, one, you either get the money and didn't get happiness, or two, you didn't get the money and still don't have happiness. So you're still stuck here. So now what am I going to do? Well, then it must be something else. And it must be family. And so you go that route. And your kids end up being thrown in jail by the time they're 10. Well, that didn't work too well. That's not paying off here. They caused me a lot of trouble. So, you know, they don't love me. They don't mind me. And my spouse is always disagreeing. And, you know, this isn't it. And we just keep looking. And some people think, well, I'll just run. Happiness, I know what happiness is. I got it. Happiness is being out on that mountain all by yourself and no one else around, no telephone, no people. What you've done, you just run away from everything. You've done what David did, Ezekiel did, Elijah did, so many people, and it's a cop-out. But boy, if I just run away from everything, and if I'm all alone and I don't have to do what? What don't I have to do? I don't have to apply spiritual love to anyone because there's no one around. And that's happiness. Not having to love is happiness. And people, that's where a lot of people are coming to. A lot of people are coming to that point. If you just don't have to love, and I'm talking about human love, but more specifically spiritual love, if you just don't have to love, you'll be happy because there'll be no, what, demands. Happiness is the absence of demand. Yet God said we know love by this. He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our life. People, nothing will make greater demands of your life than love. Therefore, we might say, if I don't have to love, then I'll be happy because no demands will be made on my life. And there are a lot of people like that. They have just taken themselves off, maybe not in the mountain, but in their own life. Boom. And I just don't have to. I don't have to change to anybody. I don't have to do anything. Happiness is what? The absence of love. I don't have, because love, I've learned something about love. Love just is a big forest. There's no thing, great thing about love. And what causes people to say that? Because you had an inaccurate view of what love is. Love to you was all for your happiness and all for your benefit, all for your for people to do for you. And that's what's so dramatic about the first thing we're going to see in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is long-suffering. Well, that should be your first clue. If it starts off with suffering, I can only imagine how it's going to end up. I'm out of here. I don't even want to see this chapter. Well, that's an awesome thing to say, first of all. It's like telling kids and starting out in math. All right, kids, you don't know what one and one is, but I want to tell you about calculus. I want to tell you about the problems of nuclear physics. Well, forget it. I'm out of here. I'm gone. Love is long-suffering. Well, that, thanks a lot. That just really encourages me to want this love. But we need to learn something about what this love is. Love makes greater demands than anything, people. And if you don't want the demands to be made, then yes. Then yes, do it. Don't love as Christ loved. If you don't want intrusion in your life, intrusion on your time, intrusion on your emotions, intrusion on your money, intrusion on you, میں تیار جو ہے کہتا ہوں لا بد کا اخلاق کا نسخہ کس کا اور جو I tell them to do when they run. I cannot handle this. What did you see the experience after this? Father, do I ask you to let this cup pass from me? Is that what I want to do? Do I want to avoid this? No, I'm not going to ask you that. For this reason, I can. But what he's dealing with is the demands of love. And love will make demands. Active. It's a force. But it's a force I can't produce. It's an action I can't produce. It's an action that only God can produce. I'm becoming more and more aware of the fact that including myself, including me, you just don't understand this love. And then how comforting it is to find out, Paul said, it is beyond understanding. What the Spirit will give us the ability to do is to grasp it. And the Spirit will give us the ability to do what? To bear it. And that has to do with the Spirit because, boy, you don't want to... People, let's just face the fact, we don't want to bear what love is going to demand. We do not want to bear what love demands. Love demands the most unbelievable forgiveness. Love demands the most unbelievable sacrifices. Love demands things that are just in the... thinking for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil are not right. It is not right that I lay down my life for this bum, for this sinner. That's when you're going to the crisis of life. And that's where you're learning to what? To be like Christ. Because what did Christ do? It's exactly what he did. He laid down his life for all us bums, us sinners. You see? Can I ever produce this? Can you ever produce this? No. So what comes from our obedience of faith is the work of love, the manifestation of the love of God. 7, this means that we do not love of our own energy, our own merit, our own integrity. This is not what some people call virtue love. Virtue love is from man. Spiritual love is from God. We love by means of faith, not by means of self-discipline. People, this is why it is so dangerous to go from the flesh to the spiritual. Boy, you've got to... Boy, let me just tell you. Don't you people in human love, don't you have to make sacrifices? What do you do in this love? And don't you have to do this in a love relationship between a man and a woman? And da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I can't make those in the spiritual realm, people. They're not in the energy of the flesh. The flesh cannot produce it. Still, all the self-discipline that one could contrive in their body cannot produce this love. This love is by the Holy Spirit. We can manufacture that which is an imitation. What can we manufacture? There are 2 sons that we studied. Which son can we manufacture in our flesh? 2 sons of Abraham. Which one can we manufacture? Ishmael. Thank you. We can manufacture Ishmael. It's going to look right. It's a male child. Is it promised a male child? It's a male child. It's from Abraham. So it looks good. But it's not the son of promise. It's not Isaac. We can produce a love, but it's not the love God is looking for. Now, this concept is so extremely important in the spiritual warfare, loving as Jesus Christ loved us, to receiving anything from God. Anything you're not going to receive from God, not just his love, is just by faith, receiving from God. We receive salvation, we receive spiritual love, the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is passive, faith is inactive. What are we looking at? We're looking at the means. In other words, we're looking at how. How can I love as Christ loved? Well, we see the cause is the Holy Spirit, but let's simplify it. How can I produce spiritual love? The means is faith. Our deal is faith. Just trust Him. Faith is the means of receiving what God does. We have to come to the point, just as we did at the cross, I can produce nothing. I am incapable of any activity that will produce this love. So I must receive the power for it, the energy for it, the ability. I must receive even what it looks like. I don't even know what it looks like to go out and make it happen. I know what human love looks like. Human love, you give gifts, you do this, you do that. But I don't know what spiritual love looks like in any given circumstance. So how can I go out and make this happen? I've got to receive the divine energy, the divine guidance, this love. Point eight. Faith is the means by which we receive and are benefited by what only God can do. Faith is the means by which we receive and are benefited by what only God can do. Faith is the means of tapping into the work of God. Whatever word or words is going to work here for you. Faith is how, if we put up here a circle, and in the circle I have ministry of the Holy Spirit. We know that He is here to teach. We know that He is here to guide. We know that He is here to give us the fruit, and namely, love that we're in the midst of studying. These are all the work of the Holy Spirit, and we have to realize that. Just as we did, salvation is the work of God. Just take the word salvation and put teaching, guiding, fruit, whatever it is, wisdom. All these things, we can just go on and on and on. The fruit of the Spirit. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of Jesus Christ. So how do I tap into the ministry of God? God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do I tap in? How do I tap into it? And then tap in means, how do I get it? The word tap is another way of saying, how do I get it? How do I get what God has done? We simply trust Him. Herman, I'm getting bored tonight because you're saying the same thing over in different ways. You bet I am. Because I want to tell you something. Very few Christians understand what we're doing tonight. You may understand it, and I pray you do, and I pray you'll get it, you know, in the point of conflict when you really need it. But if I say this thing, I read over my notes. I know some of these things sound redundant, but they're stated differently. What if our water power goes out? We begin to think about, boy, what am I going to do with that power? So I want you to think about you as an entity, just as here you are, as your own little entity here. And if you think about the power that is inside of you, you have the power of God inside of you. You have the power of God, the Holy Spirit, inexhaustible supply of energy, inexhaustible supply of power. And people, this is the only power on planet Earth that is greater than Satan's power and what Satan possesses. And you have it where? Right inside you. Right inside your soul is a power source greater than Satan. Greater is he that is in you than he that is without. You have a greater source of power. And then if I want to come down even further, we have the power of God. Yeah, that means you have the power of love. I'm amazed, and then again I'm not, the number of people that want to build a marriage on trust. Want to build a relationship on Christ. People, please understand, this has no power. The power of trust is in so far, only in so far as it's object. So if you have trust in man, think about it. There is your stability. There is your strength. You place your strength in the ability of man to be trustworthy. This is why the only place where trust has any merit is that when our trust is directed toward God, because only God is trustworthy. But While we fight doing it under God's way, it's the nature of man in the flesh to always do that, even want to do work instead of faith. While we won't just accept, this is it. And I used to teach myself, for quite a while, love has no power, love has no standards, love is weak, and all this stuff. How wrong I was. And shame on me. But I'm so thankful that he's opened my eyes to begin to see what Scripture's pointing out. People, love is such power. And that's why when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to go through all the things that how powerful love is. There are things that are said of love, never said of trust between two individuals. And when I say that, I mean what it does. I'm talking about the power of love on or in, whichever supposition you want to use, in you. It doesn't matter what the object does. That's what's so powerful about love. It just doesn't matter. Ask yourself, God is omniscient. What if God knew nobody, no creature, is going to crush my son? Would he have still offered him on the cross? That is what a people. Love doesn't sit there and say, I'm only going to give this if somebody's going to accept it. I'm only going to do this if somebody's going to respond. Love doesn't do that. He would have given his son had he known no one would believe. People, you have inside of you with the power of the Spirit, our subject of love, something that makes you so strong. People want happiness. People want stability. And we try everything from psychiatrists to therapists to drugs to alcohol to running away to the mountain just to have this stability. You want stability inside of you? People, you got it. It's called spiritual love by the power of the Holy Spirit, because it just doesn't matter what happens to those, how they treat or act or don't act and don't receive what you've got. Love doesn't consider when wrong. Love is long-suffering. I'm building you up for what we're getting ready to study. Love is compassionate. It just doesn't fall apart. And if it's rejected, it doesn't fall apart. Spiritual love doesn't fall apart. It does not consider, even when wrong, even when rejected, it doesn't fall apart. It doesn't have to boast. It doesn't have to become jealous. You want something powerful inside of you, dear people? Love is Christ's love. Love one another. Let's talk about it. A lot of our problems in life is what? One another. That's why we're going to run off to the mountain and hide. Get away from one another. But here's something that just is so much more powerful than that. And that is to love as Christ loved. This is the power with all of the effects and all of the impacts and all the results of love right inside of the people. Right there. Boy, we just, it's got to be this. It's got to be this so that I can fall apart if they don't do what I want them to do. So that I can become a nervous wreck. So that I can have self-pity. So that I can go to drugs and therapists and all of this stuff. And so everybody will get mad at this other person and all this other stuff. I just don't want to do it God's way. And people, God's way is just so simple. And it's so powerful. And that's why I'm spending the time with you, laboriously going through, how do I receive this kind of love then? If it's all of that, it's everything, it's just, I want it. How do I get it? Just trust him, and he just pours it into you. You got your hand up? Yeah.
I'm just trying to find a good idea that it's not part of the Spirit point of love in that also to let us know that we're loved too.
Yeah.
In other words, if you don't have that, then you really don't have the basis.
Yes.
Let it go out.
Yes, yes, yes. The love that he pours in is a love from. That's why you have so many passages. Like, for an example, he loved us first in 1 John, where he's talking about the whole subject of 1 John is love. The whole subject of James is faith. But the subject of John is his love, and he loved us first, and we respond to that love. What Paul says in 2 Corinthians, having concluded, by this love I am possessed, having concluded that he loved me so much that he gave his life. So by all means, it starts there. It starts being the recipient of his love. Absolutely. And then that is part of what the Spirit gives, the ability to do that. Crying in our souls in Galatians, where we say, Abba, Father. That's love. Our love for him, directed back to him. Absolutely. Yes. I maybe need to emphasize that more, Bruce, or some also. But absolutely, our love toward God. And that, in fact, Bruce, what you just brought up is the flow, if you've been able to follow what I'm saying in the three crises, where if you make it through the crisis of grace, and we'll close with this, if you make it through the crisis of grace, your view of God changes, and then if you make it through the crisis of faith, your fellowship, or I'm just going to use the word relationship, but I mean fellowship, your relationship with God changes to something phenomenal, and now you're ready because of this unbelievable relationship with God first. This first thing that happens, now you're ready for the crisis of love. And what is the crisis of love? Well, you lay down your life for others. Why am I able now to do this? Because of my relationship with God, my love relationship, my faith relationship with God. Not with man, with Him. I have this, this is all now in proper place. And when that's in proper place, Jesus Christ said, I've come to do your will. And you're totally with God the Father. His love of the Father. I love the Father loves me. Okay, so this is all a relationship with God. And when that's all intact, our love toward Him, His love toward me, all these types of things, with that intact, now I'm ready for the crisis of love in regard to one another, to the point that we will even die for an enemy. We won't do that until all of this, our relationship with God, our love for Him, His love for me. When I am solid foundation on God's love toward me and my love toward Him, this is no problem. Letting down my life. I will do this. I'm ready, at least to say you're ready to go now into the crisis of love where you do it. This is when you come to the crisis of love, is when Christ is formed in you. Because what did Christ do? Came and laid down his life for us. So when you get here, this is your whole relationship with God, faith and love relationship with God. Now you're ready for your relationship with one another, other members of the human race. Very powerful. The whole plan that God has laid out and the whole relationship, our faith and love. What God is doing in His plan. And where do we conclude tonight, Heavenly Father? That we are beautifully brought back to You. What manner of God You are. And God, we still stand amazed at Your love. We find a pleasant haven in the phrase that love is beyond understanding because we cannot understand Your love. But Heavenly Father, we're going to make ourselves a bucket so that You can just pour into it. We're going to make our own souls an endless well that You can just keep pouring in the height, the depth, and breadth of Your love. Realizing, Heavenly Father, the demands that it may make on our lives in dealing with one another. But with Your love, we can even do that. What an awesome God You are, Heavenly Father. We praise You for that which You have revealed Yourself to us. We praise You for that which we will never be able to even comprehend. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen.